Hey there, and welcome to Bustin' Out of Breast Cancer, the show that has us straight talking about surviving and thriving breast cancer using the smile method. I am Shannon Burrows, your host for the show. I empower women to invest in their most valuable assets, their homes, health, and happiness. I found my purpose at the intersection of passion and pain while navigating my own breast cancer journey and became the person I couldn't find, a certified cancer exercise specialist. And I want to make sure I can share all of my expertise and knowledge with you to help you navigate your journey as well. Not to mention, there's a big gap between the medical and fitness industries that I am on a mission to fill. On this show, we share survivor stories and talk about thriving in life, not just surviving. Welcome back to the show. Today, we have the pleasure of speaking with Dr. Davida Gill. She is an amazing thriver that you are not going to believe all of the crazy things that she has done. Like after a diagnosis, she does not stop. She is one tough cookie who continues to thrive and power through no matter what is handed to her. So welcome. Thank you so much for being here. I appreciate your time. I'm so excited for the listeners to hear your story. It's pretty amazing. And you know what the best thing is about you? Like you continue to smile throughout the entire thing, no matter what. And, you know, and I know on the inside, it's not always that easy. But I know you prior to being diagnosed, and I know that you continue to have that great, awesome, fun, witty spirit about you. So I do appreciate that. So welcome.
Thank you. Thank you. Appreciate it.
So tell me, when was your actual diagnosis?
September of 2020, right? In the midst of COVID.
Right. Naturally. I mean, why not? Right.
Why not? Just another challenge. Another character building.
Yes. That is always your favorite line, which I love that. And I have used that several times and I forgot all about it. So thank you for the friendly reminder because it is awesome. It doesn't suck. It's not awful. It's character building.
It's character building. You have to learn from it, right? You have to pivot.
That's right. So September, 2020, and you're in California, which all know that California has been known to not be the most ideal place to be throughout this whole COVID thing. So, so there's that.
There's that.
So tell me, how did you get diagnosed? Like, how did you, what was your diagnosis? How did you get diagnosed? Did you feel something? Did you go?
I actually woke up in pain one night and just like really severe pain. I'm like, this is crazy. And I thought it was a cyst. And, I waited a few days and it was hard and it was just really, really painful. And so I called the doctor. And they said, oh, well, you know, you can come in, just come into the emergency room. And I said, well, no, I need to make an appointment. They're like, no, you can come in. I'm like, oh, no, it's COVID. I'm not waiting in the emergency room. Like, that's not going to happen. So what would you like me to do?
Plan B.
Yeah, plan B. And so they had me come in. I ended up going in that Monday. So this was a Friday. I ended up going in that Monday and saw my primary doctor. And they initially said, you need to go in now. And so right then I'm like, okay, this is not good news. Because usually you can kind of hide, like the doctors have like this feeling where, you know, this bedside manner,
sugarcoat it.
Yeah. I didn't get any of that. I'm like, you need to go in today. And I'm like, okay. And so I kind of had a feeling and then there was no appointments because of COVID. And so she was like, no, you need to go in. I'm like, well, what do you want me to do? They don't have any appointments. So I ended up not being able to get an appointment until Wednesday.
And when you say go in, what do you mean? Like for a mammogram or
to the women's specialty clinic?
Okay.
And when I went to the women's specialty clinic, right then they're like, you need to have a mammogram right now. So I had a mammogram, had the biopsy the next day, and I was diagnosed right away. And then I started treatment within 2 weeks.
And what was your actual diagnosis?
So I had it was initially a HER2 negative initially, but I was a stage 2B estrogen, ER positive, PR positive. HER negative. And when I went in, it was weird because they started me like immediately. And they said, you know, they said it was aggressive. They started with me with aggressive treatment. So I was going in literally every other week. And I became, after the first treatment, they found that I was allergic to the medication. So that was a whole different conversation because I had a negative reaction. And then my white blood cells started dropping. And so I was taking injections in between each of the treatments. So 7 days a week in between every other week of my treatments. And so I did that for a while. And then after that, I went and going weekly and I was allergic to that medication. So then I did that. So I was in chemo for about 5.5 months. And, you know, people tell you this is what it's supposed to be like. Well, that was a whole different conversation. I had a whole different understanding and narrative on going on in my life.
You're like, that's for the average person. Listen, do you know who you're talking to right now?
that didn't work. So it was everything that people were telling me, it didn't work. They told me, okay, your hair's gonna fall out in 2 to 3 weeks. I'm like, yeah, mine fell out after the first treatment.
Wow.
So before I even hit my second treatment, my hair was already gone, right? So I had these things that people was not the normal. I wasn't the textbook conversation. And so.
Not yet, because you're gonna write that textbook. More to come on that.
Yes, absolutely. So, you know, I had to pivot a lot because I would have very aggressive treatment. And initially it was my breast and two lymph nodes. But then by the time that I had surgery, it ended up being, they took out 12 lymph nodes and 7 of them had cancer on top of the breast. So that wasn't expected. And so after I did my surgery and radiation, they put me back in chemo. And so that wasn't expected. And I'm allergic to that medication too.
Of course you are. So what do they do to navigate that? Like when you're actually allergic to that medication, I mean, it's not like there's a ton of medications based on certain diagnosis. You know what I mean? Like that's gotta be really challenging.
It definitely is. They ended up giving, before every treatment, I have to have Benadryl and a steroid. And so they have to kind of go through this whole procedure prior before they even give me the treatment, because I have, my body's just super sensitive to all the treatments that they've given me. And so it's been very interesting because I can't have a port. So it's like, they're having to actually do the veins, and my veins have been not liking the IVs. So now they're at the point now where they have to try to find veins on the back of my arm and different areas because they can't access the vein. It's not, that's working. So it's been interesting.
And with that being said, though, it's important to talk about the fact that you did have 12 lymph nodes infected. So you had so many lymph nodes removed, which did put you at risk for lymphedema. Now, I have recorded a podcast episode with Dr. Vineyard, my plastic surgery. We went into lymphedema a little bit more and talked about how, you know, old school way of thinking and, you know, kind of new school, more studies, so on and so forth. Mm-hmm. But you fell into that category of lymphedema.
Yay me.
So yay you.
And neuropathy.
And I was going to say, and neuropathy. So let's touch on what that was like for lymphedema first, how you knew you had it, what you've been doing to kind of manage that, and what level you were at for your lymphedema.
So I didn't really know what that was. I just started getting a lot of swelling and after surgery, and at the point where my doctor finally said, okay, well, you know, we can do, you know, you can try something else. I'm like, okay, I'm doing alternative medicine. So I actually started fusing alternative medicine with my treatments, because the treatment just was not working for me. And so I was seeing an alternative healer who does both Western and Eastern medicine. And because of the neuropathy and because of the pain that I was having, I was just having really significant pain, and they couldn't figure out why, because all my tests were coming back negative. So nothing showed. And so it was the naturopathic doctor that was giving me stuff that was really, really helping me. And I had to always call my doctor and saying, can I take this? Is this okay to take with my treatments? And so luckily she was like, okay, well, you can't take this, but you can take this. And so I paralleled both worlds together to be able to help me, because just the regular medication that the doctor was giving me was just not helping my body. And so it was just been very interesting. So I'm on, you know, my regular doctor's medication, I'm on the naturopathic medication. So I'm still here and doing what I got to do, because I got goals to meet. So
yeah, you do.
I don't have time for this.
That's right. I don't have time for that. And this is very character building.
This is character building.
So the lymphedema, though, so who diagnosed that? Your regular doctor?
My regular doctor. So it was interesting, because when I had my surgery, you know, we have the tube, the drainage tube. And I think within a few days of having it, or like, I think it was like 2 days before I was supposed to get it removed, it broke. We were trying to get the blood clots out, and it like literally snapped in half. And so I called the doctor, like, oh, you can just, you know, put it back in the hole. I'm like, no, it's like literally snapped in half. Like there's nothing to put in. Like I can't put a
right.
band on it or whatever.
Is this call for duct tape?
Right, right. So I'm, you know, I started freaking out. Like, what's that going to happen? You know, what am I going to do? Am I going to, you know, as I come in. So luckily they were like, okay, you're fine. You know, we'll just patch you up and, you know, making sure that you don't, you know, nothing else happens. And so now, like, you know, you're talking to me though, right?
Right, right. You remember who we're dealing with here, right?
Right. Like I'm not being rich.
And so with the lymphedema, we run into the issue of, you know, with your chemo that you're going through and since you can't have the port, they do have to inject you. So now you're like a pincushion for basically only one arm.
Correct. Right. So I have a sleeve on the one on the right. I have a sleeve and a glove on the right.
Do you wear it all the time?
No. And the reason why is because I'm in school, I'm back in school and I have to type and I can't type with the glove because it cuts off my circulation and I can't bend my fingers. So if I only wear the sleeve by itself, then what happens is that the fluid comes to my wrist and my wrist starts hurting because it has nowhere to go.
Correct.
And so they're, so I wear it when I'm not typing and then they were able to, they're ordering me another one where I can cut out the fingers just so I can use it when I can type and then put it the regular back on when I'm not typing, but it has been an ongoing issue. It's been very significant, you know, a lot of swelling and, between that and the neuropathy, it's just, it has its character building moments, but you know, you just push through
daily, right?
Absolutely. Like,
I mean,
oh, yeah.
those are two major side effects that, you know, sometimes we're told about and sometimes we're not after diagnosis. Right. More times than not, no one ever talks about them.
Right.
And you and I have had that conversation, you know, offline about that. And I hope that you at least being aware of, you know, since we had those conversations, you were like, it wasn't like a complete shock. You're like, okay, I've had this discussion before. I'm aware of it. Are you doing your lymphatic drainage exercises?
I am. Yeah. Okay, I'm doing those and my physical therapist keeps increasing it, but because I have limited mobility, they're concerned of permanent nerve damage. So that's something that we're looking out for. And I let her know, you understand I'm trying to finish school. Like I don't have time. Like we need to make this work because not doing it's not an option.
You don't have time for this.
I got time for this.
Mm-hmm. No. And so real quick, before we talk about how, what an overachiever you are, your neuropathy real quick.
The neuropathy is significant.
Hands, feet.
Feet and hands, both feet, both hands. And it's to the point where I can't, it's very difficult to walk barefoot. So it has to be cushioned. Like I have to have cushion socks on. I'm dropping things. So I don't always feel I don't always feel things in my hands. Like I'm eating. So I have dropped things. So it's weird because some days are better than others, but I'm aware of what it looks like. And I'm always massaging my fingers and trying to like have that sensation. And so just really trying to be more intentional with how I do things and what I'm doing and where I'm doing it. When you drop a water bottle on your computer and you don't realize you dropped it, you start being more intentional.
Yeah, right.
Like, I'll be not doing this.
At what point did you get diagnosed? Well, real quick, I want to touch on the fact that you only had a lumpectomy. So you didn't even have a full mastectomy or double mastectomy, and you still had the result of lymphedema and neuropathy. So it's important for listeners to know that, you know, just because you have a lumpectomy versus, you know, a mastectomy or double mastectomy, you still have risks that are involved with your procedures. And those are lymphedema and neuropathy, you know, to just to name a few of the side effects. Right. So at what point did you, like, where were you? What point of you after your lumpectomy did you get your lymphedema diagnosis and then your neuropathy diagnosis?
Oh gosh. The neuropathy came first, I believe. And it was really, everything happened right after surgery.
Oh, like within a week?
Not too long after. Wow. The lymphedema came very quickly after surgery. The neuropathy came very quickly. They kind of came simultaneously. And I didn't know what was going on with my body. I'm like, no, I only had a lymphedema. I'm like, I'm good. Like, what's going on? And so initially they just thought it was swelling, you know, just the swelling from it. And then they realized after that, you know, no, it's more than that. And they had me go back and see the specialist. And I went through all the different appointments that we have to go through and the the hard facts of how the life is changing once again, because I thought I was going to be done in April. I was supposed to be done in April, like April, May. I was like, okay, I'm good. We're good.
Of 2021.
Reality, right? Yeah. No. And so, you know, it's just about pivoting. Like every time something happens, it's like, all right, this is my reality. Let's make it work for me. And so it's very, it really makes you look internally at yourself, like what your priorities are and what's happening. Then you're doing it during COVID on top of that.
Right.
So that's like a whole different conversation. And I think the biggest thing is just to really figure out what's important in your life. Like where's your focus, you know, and where are your growth goals? Because at this point, it's not about like your regular goals that you have in life. It's about your growth goals. Like, how are you going to pivot to the next chapter?
Yep.
You know? And so like right now, it's like my growth goal for this year is commitment, just really commitment to my health and commitment to choosing me first, you know, because I'm still fighting and I will always fight because that's just what I do. You know, there's no wrong.
Yeah, you do. Right? I think it's important. Yeah. And I love that you talk about that because yes, getting a cancer diagnosis sucks to begin with. Like it's obviously not the most ideal. And yes, it does make you pivot and make you think about things differently, but then add COVID on top of that. I'm like, I couldn't even imagine that, you know, not even be able to have people around you or help you or have to be worried about this. And now you're going through your treatments and now you have like, you know, compromised immune system and like whole like level upon level upon level. Yeah. And commitment is a great word. Growth goal. Because committing to your mental health is just as important as your physical health and your financial health and all of that. So, first and foremost, you know, I always like to talk about mindset is like, that's the most important thing because I feel like that's the start of everything, right? If you don't have the proper mindset, then what are you going to do to, you know, change other things? Like if you don't have a good mindset, you're like, oh, well, I'm not going to exercise today, or I'm not going to make healthy choices today. You know what I mean? Like it just trickles down. Speaking of exercise and nutrition, did you end up changing any of that after your diagnosis?
You mean after or during?
Yes.
Oh, let me tell you. So this is what's funny. So when I was diagnosed, my oncologist said, okay, you can't have fruit unless it's in a hard shell, which means there goes my strawberries, there goes my peaches, my blueberries, my blackberries. They said, everything you eat has to be cooked. It's like everything. So no sushi. So
and this is because of your treatment.
Because of my treatment.
Yes.
Because they can't have the pesticides and all that. Yep. So what I could eat was very, very limited. And then on top of that, my taste buds went weird to the level of I was tasting dirt. I was tasting cardboard and then I had no taste. And then I was tasting metal. So I've heard about the metal before, but I had never heard about any dirt or cardboard. So that was the new.
Well, look who we're talking to. Hello.
Right. And so I was tripping and I was like, okay, so this is not working because I love food, but I don't like to eat at this point. So I found Yogurtland as my best friend because it gave me a shock to my system where I started being able to taste a little bit differently every time I went to Yogurtland. So after treatment, I would go to Yogurtland to get my taste buds back in back in whack.
What's Yogurtland? Is that like a
it's like
frozen
a,
yogurt ice cream?
It's like it's like a frozen yogurt. So that was the only thing that kind of helped me challenge my taste buds to kind of get them back. Well, no one had told me that, but I couldn't eat anything because everything tasted so nasty. And they kept saying, well, you have to have nutrition. I'm like, but if I can't taste it, then what's the point? Like you have to work with me on this.
Right.
And so that was part of it. And they're like, well, you can bring crackers into treatment. I can't taste the crackers. So what's the point of bringing crackers? Right. And then I realized that when I was drinking water, I was drinking them out of like my little water bottle. Uh-huh. Well, the water bottle has metal in it.
That's what you were tasting.
And I was tasting the metal. So of course that went out and I wasn't using metal forks. So I was using plastic forks. So it was just really crazy. Right. And so it was very harsh because the treatment was so harsh on me. And then on top of that, I couldn't bring anybody with me.
Mm-hmm.
And me being the person I am, I'm like, well, you know what? This is not working for me. So I was calling, so my family we were doing FaceTime during my treatment. Because I was in treatment for 6 hours because I was allergic to the radiation. So you got to pivot. You got to make it work for you.
So, all your pivots are different chapters.
They're all different chapters. Absolutely. And you learn from each one of them and it really helps you grow on a different level
than
you thought of. So
it helps you find your purpose, right? It helps you like dive in and be like, whoa, like I thought I was doing, you know, really good for society. I thought I was doing, you know, great and contributing into life. And then it's like, you know, sometimes someone has a bigger purpose for you that you don't even realize. And you thought that you were like all up here. And those of you that don't know, Miss Davina here loves to get up in the middle of the night and just, you know, knock out a book here and there. And let's talk about that. Let's talk about what an overachiever you are, because these pivots truly are, when I mentioned, you know, different chapters, they really are. And I really feel like, not that, you know, anyone should have to go through what anyone has gone through for any treatment or any illness for that matter. However, it's what you do with that information. And I know that you are going to make something spectacular about it, because now what are you doing, Miss Davida, while you're going through COVID and cancer? Let's talk about that, shall we?
Well, what had happened was, so it was interesting, because when I was diagnosed, I'm a therapist. But I was
what kind of therapist?
I'm a mental health therapist. I'm a social worker. I'm a licensed clinical social worker. But I was also I'm also a professor at a university, and I was working on my second doctorate at the same time.
Right, because that's what everyone does.
I'm sorry?
That's what everyone does.
Right, of course. Right. And so they were like, well, and I have my private practice also. And so they were like, well, you need to not do these things. I'm like, I don't need to do what? They're like, you can't go through treatment and do all these things. And I said, well, if I don't do them, then you're not going to get the results that you want. Like I might not be here. So I will pivot what I need to pivot. So I closed my private practice, both my coaching and my therapy practice. I continue doing therapy with my contracted agency. I continue to teach, because I teach at the university, and I continue with school. And they're like, well, you can't do school. I'm like, how are you gonna tell me I can't do school? You understand, if I don't do school, my student loans don't kick in from the first doctorate. Like, we're not gonna do that. And I'm almost done. So I finished all my coursework in the middle of chemotherapy. And
see, listeners, anything can be done.
Yeah, I did that. And my thing was, I have to be focused on something, because I can't be focused on the pain. Because I was in pain every single day for my treatment, because of my reactions, my body's reactions to it, because I had some severe side effects. So I finished all my treatments. I finished my oral prelims, and I wrote my children's book, I Am Not My Cancer, because that was my way of walking through trying to figure out how I'm gonna tell my family that I have cancer, because it doesn't run in my family. Mm-hmm. And so when I was diagnosed, I wrote these words on my phone, and I was freaking out, like, how am I gonna tell my family? And so I read those words every single day during treatment. And then the year of my anniversary, I made it into a book, a children's book. And so I was like, okay, all right, that's done. Now let me just finish my dissertation, and I'll be finishing my dissertation in May. So I'll be done. So I'll be, you know, Dr. 2.0.
2.0. And so where can they get your book? On Amazon?
They can get it on Amazon. They can get it on diversetrial.com. Okay. And these were the actual words that I said to myself the day I was diagnosed, and read them every single day to help get me through treatment, because it's really about having faith. It's really about, you know, family. It's really about resiliency, mm-hmm. and utilizing and not letting people tell you what you can do. Because if I would have listened to them telling me to quit school, to quit work, to quit doing what I love, then what am I fighting for? Right. Quit, you know, my family, you know, we're not doing that.
No.
So it's really important for me to not let their limitations, you know, be part of my narrative. That's your limitations. Maybe you can't do it, but don't tell me what I can do.
Correct. Yeah, and I think that goes regardless of a cancer diagnosis or not.
Absolutely.
You know, and that's where there's such a disconnect and such a gap between the medical and fitness, or just like medical and humans to begin with, because there's so textbook of like, here's your diagnosis, this is what you can and cannot do, you should not do, this is what we advise you to do or not do or whatever. And it's like, yeah, but I'm not everybody. Like, everyone's an individual. And that's why it's so important. And I'm always, always, always advocating for women to listen to their body and be their own advocate. Please, please, please just listen to your body. Know that you don't have to, like, just because you've been given a diagnosis does not mean you need to all of a sudden just say, jump in with both bricks and be like, okay, I'm going to do whatever you tell me to do. No, do your research, talk to other people, talk to other thrivers, other doctors, do some research, and then have that conversation with your team about, you know, the options.
Absolutely. I think that's very important, because, and have it with your family. Because mm-hmm. what affects you also, it does affect them.
Yes.
And so I think for me, it was like, okay, what do I need to give up and what do I want to keep? And I literally made those decisions. These are the things I need to give up, and these are the things that I will keep. And it worked for me. And then you see how you feel, because even your fatigue and all of that, it shifts, mm-hmm. right? And so do I need to drop off some more things off my plate? What can I handle? And so, you know, you more than you know, you're, you know, more than anybody else. And you have to really know, like, what's your inner compass saying, right? And I think that's really important to kind of understand. I knew when it was time for me to close my practices.
Yeah.
You know, and say, okay, I'm just going to focus on teaching, because it doesn't take a lot of my time. I know I'm going to focus on school, because that's a non-negotiable for me.
Correct.
So you have to know what your non-negotiables are, but it's important that your family has your back and is with you, yes, along that, because those are your cheerleaders. And if I didn't have my family there, oof.
And you know, it's sad, because sometimes some people don't have that.
They don't. And their friends are just as much family.
Yep, absolutely.
Or their friends, you know, people who they confide in are just as much family. You don't have to be blood to be family.
That's right. And it's important to know that if listeners are listening and you or someone you know, it falls into that category of like, I don't have family that supports me on the things that I want to do that are important to me, or, you know, are non-negotiables, please reach out to any other thrivers. You can reach out to myself, to Vita, anybody else that's in this community of, which I call breasties. You know, we're always here. That's why I try to make sure that this is a positive platform for listeners to hear other people's stories, how they navigated it. Maybe you connect with that person. Maybe you connect with another person. Maybe you connect with me. Maybe you don't. I'm not for everyone. It's cool. I'd be very busy if I was. Anyway, so, you know, please reach out. I mean, that's what we're here for. I really feel like it kind of brings a sense of community together to help one another. And I think we always want to give back and always want to help others, you know, when you've gone through a traumatic experience.
Absolutely.
It's plenty of pivots.
Yeah. It's really important. And not everyone's story is the same. Everyone's right. Story is so different. No one's story was like mine.
No, that's for sure. And I've talked to a lot of women.
Right. And that doesn't mean anything's wrong with you. It just means that your body is just different, and you're just different, and that's okay. So you have to figure out what works best for you. But I never did anything without my doctor's consent either. Mm-hmm. So I always, even though I had alternative medicine, you know, naturopathic medicine, I made sure that my doctor knew what I was taking, so that it didn't mess up my chemo. Right. Mm-hmm. So I always was very open and honest, and I'm a very transparent person. And so to me, it's, you have to figure out what's working best for your body. And that's the biggest thing. You have to, like you said, you have to advocate for yourself, because if you don't advocate for yourself, who else is going to do it?
That's right. That's crazy. And so now you're still going through treatment, correct?
Yeah. I just had it Wednesday because they found more cancer when they opened me up. I had another year of chemo, because I switched from a HER2 negative to a HER2 positive. And so, I'll be done prayerfully in April. Will be my last chemo treatment.
2022, peace out, sauerkraut.
Man, right? So we're going to be prayerful that this is it.
Right. And then you're supposed to be done with your second doctorate, what, in May, you said?
In May. Yep. Okay. So my treatment will be done in April. My second doctor will be done in May. And, you know, you still have the hormone therapy for 5 years that you have to do. That I have to do, should I say. But that's the plan. You know, that's the plan. Once I'm done with my physical therapy, I'll go back to acupuncture again to help with the nerve damage.
Can you talk about that? Excuse me. Sorry. Can you talk about acupuncture and what the benefits are to having the acupuncture, what it's done for you, how it's helped you?
You know, so to me, it really helped, because it what it did was kind of wake up the nerves. And I was in a lot of pain prior to going to acupuncture. I was in a lot of pain, I had a lot of nerve damage. I was having problems with my arm, with my breast, just severe. I was having shooting pains going through my body on my right side. And when I was sleeping, I would have significant pain, like jolts of electricity going through both sides of my body.
Wow.
And they couldn't figure out why, what was happening. So I did do acupuncture and explain to what was going on. And actually acupuncture actually helped it where I don't feel it anymore. As far as the jolts of electricity, I just feel the pain on the right side. But then when I started physical therapy, I stopped doing acupuncture because they don't want me to do both of them simultaneously because they want to see what works and what's not working. Sure.
That makes sense.
So once physical therapy is done, then I'll return back to acupuncture. But like I said, I use both parts of alternative medications, you know, medicine, the acupuncture and the physical therapy. So I make sure that I have both sides of, you know, both extremes, because I think for my body, that's just what's working for me.
And it's important to have a team that works together and is, you know, they complement each other on what needs to be done, and they work together to
absolutely
come up with the best solution for you.
Yeah. And my oncologist was like, yeah, this, you want to try this? I'm like, absolutely. What else can we try? Because this pain is not helping me.
Right.
I think the biggest part of the pain was that it was starting to affect my lifestyle as far as just normal day-to-day activities. Mm-hmm. And that was a big like red flag, because I already had aggressive treatment. And with the neuropathy and with all of these new things and these side effects that I was still having even after treatment and you know, surgery and radiation, because even the radiation, what the doctor was giving me was not working. Like I burned so bad that my skin literally peeled off of my, it was completely raw.
Wow.
That's how sensitive my skin was. So even though you can't feel the radiation at all.
Right.
You know, and because it's progressive, I would literally go in and my skin would peel off of me. And so they're like, well, we haven't seen this. I'm like, well, you haven't met me.
Let me reintroduce myself, my friends.
All right. So aloe vera plants became my best friend. And, you know, my naturopathic doctor gave me this other cream, which helped heal helped soothe it. So, and now you can't even tell that I had that happen.
Wow, like, that's amazing. Yeah.
You can see the color change from the radiation, but you can't see that it completely peeled off. Like it healed that well with the aloe vera plant and with the other natural medication. Amazing. So I think, like I said, you have to figure out what works best, because you're not going to be like everybody else.
Right. Someone may have a little bit more, you know, acid in their body, or, you know, whatever, alkaline, whatnot. So what's your next book going to be?
So I have two children's books that are coming out that I had put on pause because of COVID and all that. And, but
I am like an excuse, Davida. I mean, come on. Yeah. You do everything else.
Look, I got to finish this doctorate. I'm trying to finish this degree. Okay. But, I am working on, I'll be doing a book about this journey. So I will be writing a book on it. I've already started it.
Of course you have.
Of course I have. I put it on pause because I need to finish this doctorate. I need to finish my dissertation. But I'm doing that. So that's my next book is going to be this journey of unfamiliar territory. And so I'm excited about it on some level, just because you don't know what you don't know. Mm-hmm. I think what's important, and no one told me, is that you've got to document the journey.
Yes.
You know, so it's funny because when I started this, I'm like, yeah, I ain't gonna write about it. And I haven't written, like I only wrote, I think, maybe the first part of my chemo back in 2020, but I have all the texts and stuff from people. And so then what happened was I created this little book for myself, my planner cancer journey, which documents all my appointments and everything. So I can literally go back and like, dang, I had an appointment almost every single day. Like, this is like for real.
I had two notebooks.
Right. Cause when you go through it, you don't think about it. Right. You don't. And then you kind of wonder when was that? Oh yeah. Mm-hmm. Oh my gosh. That's how often I went to my doctor's appointments, or I had chemo, or I had radiation, or so it's interesting to look back and reflect how strong you actually are.
Yes.
When you're going through it, you don't feel like,
you're like, when is this going to end? What's happening?
Right. Right. So, you know, now it's like, okay, well, at least I can eat what I want now, but.
So you're not eating cardboard anymore or dirt?
I'm not.
That's good.
Metal? But I'm actually documenting it. And the reason why is because there are days that I don't have taste.
Interesting.
And I wonder, well, is it COVID?
Right.
And then I don't have a smell. And I'm like, is it COVID?
Right.
And it comes back. So again, you don't know what you don't know. So I document it because when they ask me, it's like, okay, well, this is what happened, you know, X, Y, and Z.
And plus, do you get chemo brain?
Yeah.
Yeah. So oh, it's absolutely. Good to document. It's good to document, you know, for that reason as well.
Yeah, absolutely. Oh, girl.
I mean, my brain fog with COVID was no joke. So, yeah. I mean, that was like, whew, I couldn't even imagine doing the whole chemo brain too.
Yeah. It's real. Like it's yep. real. And you don't realize how real it is until you're like, wait, what? Huh?
Yes.
You know? And so I literally post-it notes of, they've always been my best friend. They really my best friend, like post-it notes and just writing stuff down. But see, I can't even write down really because it hurts to write because of the
Trello board. Get your Trello board out.
It no, but even using the mouse, like because of my wrist,
gripping the movement, and stuff.
Everything hurts.
Yeah.
So it's just a matter of, okay, let me couple hours pause. So it's like always trying to pivot each time when something happens, but it's really recognizing your body.
Mm-hmm.
Your For body's sure. telling you, it's like, I don't think I've ever listened to my body until I went through this.
Yes, I agree.
Like for real.
But I'm so fascinated by the human body to begin with. Like ever since having to go through in vitro to have my daughter and like seeing the cells, like in a petri dish, like everything you did growing up in science. And I was like, I don't care about science.
Right.
And then like, okay, well maybe you should have cared a little bit more, Shannon. And right. now I'm like, after going through that process and seeing those cells in the petri dish, where like I looked at it and I was like, that looks like a rice cake. How on earth is that going to turn into like a human being? Mm-hmm. And knowing that I created that human being, that those cells in that petri dish turned into 2 eyes, 2 ears, brain, like a beautiful human being. Like it's just unbelievable. And then to be like, okay, which I do attribute my IVF treatment as to my cancer diagnosis. Those of you who listened to previous episodes, I've discussed this numerous times. And then to know like, okay, now you're going to be diagnosed with cancer. Okay. All right. I'll take that. Very well. Next. What else we got on the table?
Right.
Because I'm pretty sure I'm good. I'm good now. You can stop.
Yeah.
So you closed your practice and you closed your,
you're still doing teaching. You mean during treatment?
Yeah. So what are you doing now?
I closed my therapy practice and I closed my coaching practice during treatment. Right.
And so are we back to coaching? We have a private group. What are we doing?
We're back. Yes. We're back to part-time doing my therapy practice just because I'm still in treatment and I have my physical therapy and I have to keep pivoting whatever appointments they give me. And with also, I still have the fatigue issue. So, and the neuropathy and all that stuff. So I'm back to doing my private practice 2 days a week. I'm back to coaching. So I just relaunched my coaching practice. So I'm doing it in small increments, seeing clients. And my focus, of course, I mean, you know, it's really about empowering creatives to unmask their potential and embrace their authenticity, right? Being able to manage their lifestyle without compromising themselves. And so really looking at being not only goal, but growth focused. And how do we pivot? Because no matter what I do, whether it's therapy or coaching or teaching, it's always about integrating the arts, mental health, and education for me, because that's my background, right? Mm-hmm. And so I'm very excited because, especially since COVID, everything's online. Like I'm doing everything online. I'm not going anywhere.
Yep.
And so for me, if I can bless someone else and help them reach their goals, their growth goals, as well as their regular goals within 10 core life areas, then I'm like, let's do this. Let's make this work. And can't is not my vocabulary. I was taught that when I was a young kid, and it still holds true today. And if you're a creative with every one problem, there's 10 solutions. Let's figure out what that is, you know, and just keep pushing. It's just about keep pushing, keep making it work.
And I feel like that mindset is what has helped you navigate your journey.
Yes, absolutely. Absolutely. Yep. Don't let anyone's limitations fall on you. Yep. That's not your issue. It's their issue.
That's correct. I remember I had, someone tell me once when I was pregnant, like I had all my high heels from working in the corporate world all lined up in my closet. And she was like, you know, you're never going to be able to wear those again after being pregnant. And I was like, watch me.
Right.
Watch me. I will be wearing those freaking 3-inch heels walking into the hospital. Guess who did? That's kid right here behind the two thumbs. Yeah. Right. I wore my little skinny jeans, my 3-inch heels. They're like, can I help you? I'm like, yeah, I'm here to have a baby.
Exactly.
Because I had to be induced. But yeah.
Yeah.
No, never let somebody tell you that you can't do something. It goes back to the whole, you know, when the doctors are like, you can't do this, you shouldn't do this, you need to give up this. Whoa, slow your roll.
Right.
Tootsie roll.
Right. Your role is.
Right. Let's go back to who's rolling.
Right. Right.
Your role is.
Right. Tell me the negatives. Tell me the positives. And now let me strategically figure it out.
Right.
Let me creatively, strategically figure it out for me and my lifestyle and my family based on the information that you gave me with my diagnosis.
Correct.
And I will pivot as needed. And that's what I did. And that's what I continue to do. You know, I'm still in treatment, but hey, okay.
Ain't no stopping you now.
So it was funny. So I have to tell you this real quick. So the last day of my radiation, because they had been seeing me over and over and over again, you know, in radiation, you're there every day, right? So I have a team of techs. So my last day of treatment, they played Living Life Like It's Golden to me while I was going through my last treatment. I'm like, yes, I'm living life like it's golden. That's me.
That's right. Right. That's right. Yeah. That's awesome. So what is the best way for someone to find you or work with you?
For therapy, it would be on mvcreativesolutions.com. If it is for coaching, it's on mahoganyvita.com. And those are the two best ways. If you want to buy the cancer book, it's on diversechild.com, or you can get it on Amazon. But usually I give little things away during on the other books that I have. There's four other children's books also in there. And so, yeah, there's quite a few ways to reach out to me.
And your links for your books, we can put those in the show notes, all that, right?
Diversechild.com, yes. Uh-huh. Okay. And Amazon.
Mm-hmm. Perfect. And so let me ask you this. This is always like a loaded question, because I feel like there's always so much advice that we all want to give to help others. So if you were to pick between 1 and 3 pieces of advice to give to somebody who's newly diagnosed or navigating their journey, or as a family or loved one, what would it be?
Write your own narrative.
Love it. Write your own narrative.
You are the CEO. You're the editor. You are the director of the play. You hold the pen. Write your own narrative.
That's a big joke that my husband and I have.
Edit who you want edit in your life and who you don't want in your, you know, you get to choose. So write your own narrative.
Write off whoever needs to not be in there anymore.
Yes. Not everyone's going to be blessed to take you to go to the next trip, go to the next chapter with you.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
That's absolutely correct.
So you can release them and gift them to somebody else if you choose. Not everyone's going to be there for you and expect that. And the people who you thought were going to be there may not. And the people who you didn't think were going to be there probably will be. You get to write your own narrative. You get to choose.
And you never know why someone enters your life. You
never know.
For those of you that are listening, Davida and I were in a coaching program together. We had the same coach. And I loved her to death from the first time I met her on our Zoom calls, because I just thought she was hysterical and I loved her energy. And we just kind of connected. And we're no longer in the coaching program, but we still stay connected. And sure enough, a few months later, after we left the program, she decides to tell me that she has cancer. And I was like, ha, see, I knew we were meant to be together for a reason.
Yeah.
Not that it's a good one, but I mean.
But anyway, you've been a godsend. Truly.
Here we are 2 years later. And who knew you were going to be on my podcast?
Right?
That's too crazy. That's awesome. Well, I'm going to put all your contact information into the show notes. I am so blessed to have you here on this episode of Busting Out of Breast Cancer, because I love being able to share other Thriver stories. Because it's empowering, right? It's inspiring to be able to know that we can take a horrible situation and turn it into something that is beautiful. And that's your books. What's your other piece of advice that you had said? Don't do.
Oh, I had a second. Oh.
two doctorates while going through.
Oh yeah. Don't do two doctorates while going through. So yeah. Cause I had my first doctorate a couple of years ago. And so I'm like, oh, let me go back. Like, why? I work for myself. I don't need two doctorates, but it's something I just wanted to do. And so, yeah. So yeah, I wouldn't recommend it. You know,
I mean, if you might want to
go for it, but
right. I mean, if the doctor tells you, maybe you should think about not doing it, that's fine, but not for, that doesn't go for you. That doesn't apply to you.
Yeah. You got to figure out what's best for you, you know, It keeps you focused. I tell you that much. It'll keep you focused.
Keeps you on your toes.
Keeps you on your toes. It'll be some character building days, but you lean in, you pivot, you creatively adjust and make it work for you.
Yes. You bring out the inner ballerina in you.
There you go. That's it right there.
Throw on that tutu and pivot.
There you go. That's what you do. That's exactly what you do.
Thank you so much for being here. I totally appreciate all of you. I love you sharing your story. I love you just spending your time. And I always love seeing your beautiful smile. I know that you guys cannot see her, but when I do these recordings, I do it over Zoom just because I like to look at somebody and have a conversation, just like we're friends, just sitting around and having a conversation. So she has the most amazing, beautiful smile. Go follow her on Instagram. And are you still on Facebook? I know you closed your Facebook group, but.
The best way on Instagram to follow me is Mahogany Vita Unlimited. That's where I am on Instagram. I'm not on Facebook too much. So Instagram is probably the best way to reach me if on social media.
Perfect. So go follow her. Feel free to ask her any advice, any feedback, any support. If you need coaching, you know who to contact. If you need therapy, you know who to contact, and she will give you service with a smile.
Thank you so much.
All right. Thank you so much for listening. I hope this week's episode has somehow changed your life with a smile. If you are looking for guidance through your breast cancer journey, including your recovery, but don't know where to start, head over to shannonbrose.com and let's chat. If you would like to be a guest on this podcast, know someone who would be a great guest, or have topic ideas, email me at smile@shannonbrose.com. Until next week, live well, laugh often, and love much.